The NZDNB Podcast.
Interviews, music features, and the freshest selections from some of the leading names in drum and bass. The NZDNB Podcast Mix Series.
Yes, yes. Welcome to the very first episode of the New Zealand Drum and Bass Podcast Mix Series. And joining me on the line all the way from Blighty right now, a man who's heading to our shores very soon, Jack Workforce. How are you going, brother?
Yes, mate. Very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. So it's summertime over there.
It's boiling.
And you're deciding to leave the UK during that time, which is quite possibly one of the busiest times of year, and head out to New Zealand.
Why not, eh? To be honest,
why not, mate?
It's too hot here, to be honest, for me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy. 23 with a breeze. I'm good, to be honest.
Right.
I've done a few tours in New Zealand in the winter as well, and it's just a slightly different vibe, isn't it?
It's lovely over here in the winter. You're down in Queenstown as well, so you can go snowboarding if you want.
For sure. Although I don't know whether I want to chance that like mid-tour, considering how shit I am at snowboarding. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm in my mid-30s. I've already got back problems that are giving me jip. I'm probably just going to avoid, you know, anything that could give me serious injury, particularly in the middle of a tour.
Yeah,
don't let anyone down.
But you are coming out to New Zealand. First gig is Liquid Lowdown and Foo Zen Presents at Neck of the Woods on the 12th of August. What are some of your fond memories about playing out in New Zealand?
That club in particular is one of them. But the first time I came out was just like very, very special tour. I think I played at Foo Zen on the first night I got there, and it was just like I'd never been that far away from home. I was quite young. I was probably like 20 or something like that. Played Foo Zen and then went with Liam down to do some snowboarding on Ruapehu. I was shit at snowboarding then. I'm still shit. and then played Sandwiches for Jeff and D-Dog, Daryl.
Right, so this is quite a while ago.
Yeah, man, this was like 2009.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, Sandwiches was just a very, very special event. I remember getting there and, you know, it's hard to explain really because I guess you guys are maybe a bit more used to it, but the energy is just very different in New Zealand than anywhere else in the world to go and play. It feels like charged and it feels like, you know, receptive and ready to sort of hear good music and sort of commit to a night essentially and sort of, you know, trust the DJ. So I've got great memories from that first tour, but also sort of everyone in between has been pretty special for different reasons. The last time I actually did a club tour, I played Neck of the Woods as Spectra Soul, I think in 2017, maybe 2018 actually, early. And yeah, the Neck of the Woods show was incredible, and Christchurch as well. I've just got such, you know, I've got really solid mates in New Zealand, people that I've toured with over the years who I just always make sure I catch up with. My friend Zach, who runs that Flux place down in Christchurch, last time I was in town for that tour, he took me out for my birthday we went out into the mountains in a 4x4 car, stayed in one of those sort of like bovvy things, you know, that are like 10 kilometers off the beaten track.
Wicked.
Yeah, it was really incredible.
Yeah, man.
So I've been really fortunate, to be honest, to meet some fucking amazing people, but also have time with those people in between shows to really see the country and the upbeats. Was really lucky with them. That was after a run of really intense New Year's Eve shows, so Northern Bass and Rhythm and Outs and stuff, and plus some Aussie ones. And at the end of that, I just went with them and chilled with them, made some music, but also got the opportunity to just see some incredible shit with them, you know, like did some whitewater rafting, some other adventuring, and yeah, obviously met up with you in Tikitane's studio, which was a crazy few days, to be honest. It was real good fun.
I love the results of that little escapade you guys had going on.
Sure.
when I turned up, it was just freaking awesome, you know.
Yeah, and actually when they got back, you know, when they got back and they had the tune with Shapeshifter, I was like, They got quite a lot done. Those two, like, and I really like this this one that they did. I was like, guys, let me have a go at remixing that one. So I obviously remixed that one of theirs when they got back, because I just wanted to be a bit more involved in that project from a workforce perspective, and I loved that tune. So yeah, I took that on when I got home as well.
You know, speaking of Kiwi producers, you've taken one under your wing, haven't you?
Yeah, I didn't expect to be releasing music on my label that was from anyone but me, to be honest. But Jeremy from the Upbeats just literally out the blue just sent me a message saying, what's your email? I've got this guy who wants to send you some music. And yeah, he emailed me some tunes. It took me ages to listen to them. And he sort of like very politely sort of
gave you a nudge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Badgered me to check them out. And when I did, I was just like, wow, who's this kid, Azzy FM? Like, what is this? And like, obviously the music was really special, but also really not sort of tied up in any technical mix down stuff. He was just coming up with really good ideas. And I did the standard thing of like, I checked in with like the people that I know and sort of have known for years in New Zealand, been like, do you know this kid? And they're like, oh yeah, he's really cool. And like, you know, the people whose opinions I really trust from New Zealand, aside from Jeremy, obviously, but... And yeah, just it came back and just made sense, because there was just so much good material there to work with. And, you know, he's such a cool, down-to-earth kid who's going to go places. It just, I couldn't not release it, to be honest, at that point. I was...
I mean, it's bloody awesome. You've kickstarted his career. I mean, look at DM Drum and Bass Arena now. They're just all over him. And it's awesome to see this new generation of artists coming through, and also having someone as esteemed as yourself sort of championing him as well. I had an interview with DJ Bailey the other day, and he's asking me who I should be, you know, who should I be listening to? And I was like, Azzy FM, bruv, if you haven't checked it out, you know.
Well, mate, I'm working with him at the minute on the next EP. He's got like six tunes and they're just fucking amazing. Like, I'm going to stick a few in this mix for you, actually, and I won't give much information. But yeah, he's got some, I mean, honestly, like, yeah. I mean, even since I first started working with him, which is like probably over a year ago or something, like, it's come on leaps and bounds in terms of the technical stuff, but the ideas are just solid as well. So yeah, I'm really I haven't met him in person either, so that'll be something that I get to do when I'm over in a couple of weeks time.
Yeah, well, that's always nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and all my downtime's in Christchurch, which is where he is, so I can, you know, chill, eat some nice food, catch up with him.
Wicked.
Yeah, it's going to be a vibe. I'm excited for it.
So for you, music-wise, the album Set and Setting.
Yeah.
Absolute freaking masterpiece, mate. Like, you know, I'm a big fan of your work anyway, but just some of the tunes on that one really stuck out. And I remember seeing you putting up a bunch of posts where you were sort of like, you know, working on drums or working on keys. I was just like, holy shit, this is going to be a different album for you, isn't it?
Yeah. I really got into a bit of a funny zone, like, during... lockdown, it must have been lockdown one into lockdown two, because it was, I mean, I'm not sure, like, it's hard to sort of compare lived experiences, but the UK during those lockdowns was fucking brutal, and we just couldn't seem to get a handle on our sort of border policy or our health policy to make it go away quicker. So I just sort of buried my head in studio. I bought myself a car so that I could still get into work, and then I just, you know, I really treated it like a 9-to-5, because there was no gigs to sort of take it out of you at the weekend. You could just crack on. It allowed me to sort of open up some other creative avenues that I haven't really explored before. I've always loved drums and working on drum edits and stuff, and I've always never really liked being put in a box. So I just wanted to make something that was kind of non-linear, a bit unexpected, and just sort of push the envelope a little bit, I guess, and try and make something that's a bit more of a coherent body of work.
You certainly did that.
It was the most difficult thing I've ever done, most difficult project. I thought, oh, I've done three albums of Spectrosol, I know what I'm doing now, but actually, fuck no, it was just a totally different challenge. And to be honest, I'm trying to find my feet to see what I want to do next, and it's difficult because I haven't really written any tunes in, you know, nearly over a year, probably, like, just because it was so intense, that period, and then it went straight into sort of press and promo for album, and like, I did all the artwork for the album, all the animations, all the sort of like supporting content was me. Like, I don't really have a team around me, it's just me and my distributor, and I work with one person who helps me with sort of like strategy and stuff, but all the assets are just me. So it was a real slog. So since it came out like May time, I've been at a slight loss. I've picked up some other sort of youth music work that I do with sort of kids in Brighton, young people in Brighton who are sort of struggling or wanting to learn how to produce. So I've been doing quite a lot of that in the meantime, and I'm just trying to sort of find my feet with what the next project's going to be. as well as shows, obviously, which are back.
Yeah, I mean, the arrival of shows, obviously, as I was saying at the start of the interview, they're all kicking off over there, and here you are heading out here, touching down 12th of August at Neck of the Woods in Auckland, yeah. 13th at White Hart Festival in Methven, and then, of course, 18th Dive Bar in Dunedin, 19th at Yonder in Queenstown, and then finishing up in Christchurch at the legendary Hyde Club on the 20th. That's a nice little run of shows there, right?
Yeah, for sure. So it's just, I wanted to just pick out like the main spots. The only thing of there's a couple that I'm a bit disappointed we're not going to hit that we'll hopefully hit next time, which is Wellington. Just got such a good history of Wellington. I always love passing through, but those cities we're hitting are going to be amazing. That Hyde Club, I've seen so much footage of it. It looks incredible.
Yeah, bro, it really does. Yeah, man.
But like you said, but as you said with regard to shows in England or in the UK. It's kind of hard at the minute. It's very much not recovered in the way that people think it has, and it kind of looks on the surface like maybe it has, but I don't think it really has in terms of people's appetite for what they want. Like,
right.
A lot of the festival lineups are quite samey, you know. Like, so the appetite for like things that are a bit off the beaten track and that you can't really put in a box is a bit more diminished. I mean, you've obviously got like Outlook and Sun and Bass and stuff like that. I also played like Hospitality on the Beach, which was pretty amazing, to be honest, as well, and playing Let It Roll. So there's a lot of that sort of thing, but where like so much club culture has been really damaged by COVID, there's a lot of people that haven't really recovered, you know, like the underground promoters, the underground venues, they have really been hit very, very hard by this, where sort of the upper echelons of promotion, you know, the sort of, I guess, more well-funded promoters are still about. There's a few really key promoters who have managed to get through the tough periods, and that's really encouraging. But I think we're in a sort of like ripe time for sort of some innovation and some change over here. The COVID just really has fucked it up quite badly. Like it seems quite precarious even still, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's touch and go for a lot of promoters over here as well. We got hit sort of in a bunch of different waves for shorter periods of time, but what it did allow us to do, or New Zealand promoters to do, was to actually get the ball rolling, oh, everything's off. And that really, really messed up a lot for you know, for a lot of Kiwi promoters. So, and that happened a couple of times, and I think it took the wind out of quite a few people's sails as well. But
imagine.
It looks like we are back in business now, man.
Good. Yeah, great. There's still, I mean, I don't want to sound too pessimistic. I just want to be like cautiously optimistic, if that makes sense. So I'm really trying to focus on what I can do, like in my local area, club-wise. That's why I did my launch at this kind of institution in Brighton called the Volks. I'm doing a little like event there this Wednesday.
I've played at the Volks before a couple of times.
Have you? Yeah, amazing.
Yeah,
Did you play on it when it had it at the DJ booth up the balcony on the top?
Yeah. That was when I played. I was like, this place is fucking weird.
Yeah. Oh, mate. I mean, it's different. It's even more of an institution now. Like, they've really put they've just put a brand new rig in there. We're doing like a little special event down there sort of on the 3rd. We're going to do sort of like an early evening show where it's kind of all like quite secretive, turn the DJ booth around, make it all a bit more interesting. So I'm just really trying to focus on like local events, keep it all a bit more sort of tied together and focused, and trying to keep the ecosystem moving along. Because I mean, even like, I don't know what it's like down there, although I've heard it's quite bad, but like the travel situation here is kind of messed up, like the flights, it's a real mess, man. Like they basically let off like lots of the companies, the airlines, they let off loads of staff, and then they can't train them back up quick enough to get them back to meet the demand of now. So it's a bit of a mess. Like every day I'm sort of waking up to emails and calls about like changes to travel, changes to this, and it's like, yeah, we need to be a bit careful here, sort of thing. So yeah, I mean, I was actually looking to maybe try and drive all the shows on the South Island between like Christchurch, Dunedin, Queenstown.
I mean, you know, it's not undoable, man. Like, and you've got you got time. There's a day in between.
Honestly, the car hire is just the car hire alone, not the fuel, is the same price as the flights.
Looking forward
to it though. I've just got to hope that I can actually get there and I don't get fucked up by some airline nightmares.
No, I'm pretty sure borders actually just opened on Monday, so yeah. I think you'll be fine, brother. Like you know, people are coming in and out of the country now for free flow, which is awesome.
Sick. Yeah, just got to rely on the airlines now. That's it.
Right, bruv. So this mix that we're about to hear, some of the music that you're going to be playing, who are we expecting to hear from?
So I'm going to chuck a couple new Aussie FM tunes in there. I'll chuck a few Workforce dubs in there, some album tracks. I've always DJed roughly the same. Like I'm quite critical about what I like to play. I'm quite pig-headed about what I like to play. So you know, Break, Calibre, Alex Perez, Aussie FM.
Wicked. Nice.
Yeah. I'm just starting to get a few more old like Spectra Soul tunes back into the set as well. Which is quite fun.
Was that something that you had to consciously do? Was like stop playing Picture Soul tunes, or was it something you needed a break from?
I think a bit of both. It was more just like carving out what my sets are going to look like without them, and then once I feel comfortable like that, how they fit back in, sort of thing. Because there's, yeah, I've still got favourites, of course. Like I was, you know, it was a massive part of my life, and it was a, you know, huge, huge achievement for me and Dave, really. So I'm still very proud of most of that music. It's just making that definition between like what I am now and what that was about. And I guess there's not that much difference, I don't think, now in terms of Spectral output and Workforce output, apart from I guess maybe don't lean so heavily into the liquid stuff, I guess. I still absolutely love making it. I mean, I've got like three or four of them on the album, you know. I still love it, but I just don't like it in isolation. I think I've always just liked producers that can be versatile and make everything or make a bit of everything. It's really important to me to not get stagnated in one style of drum and bass music or one style of music at all, to be honest. So, and that's the same. That's always reflected in my DJ sets too. I try and cross the board. I like to play longer. I don't like playing an hour. I'm very much a sort of, I prefer a 90-minute, two-hour set always, because can really sort of dig deep and show the breadth of what is there and what I love.
Yeah, I mean, even longer is better, you know.
Yeah,
especially
man.
that's something that's really part of Christchurch's history, is DJs would come out and just keep on playing, man, right through till the end of the night, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I did this tour, I think it was the album tour we did, Spectral tour, but I came out on my own for How We Live, and it was like every show was at least 2 hours, and the Neck of the Woods one was just a ridiculous show. I think I played like 3 and a bit hours at Neck of the Woods, and it was just fucking
wicked.
Ridiculous. B and Gareth stood behind me, I think, pretty much the whole set. yeah, it was proper, man. And I remember coming off and going, fuck, that's it, that's how it's done. Like, or that's like the apex of enjoyment during DJing, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the conversations I have on the History podcast, we talk about those old sets in Christchurch and why those people enjoyed playing for so long, and they were like, it was literally a gift. We weren't able to do that anywhere else in the world, you know what I mean? Like, to come so far and to be just given full free rein for the rest of the night and be able to take people on a real journey, that was, you know, that is what made New Zealand so special to them.
Yeah, that's sick. And I think, I honestly think that's part of what's missing in the culture. I don't know whether this is globally, because I haven't really travelled globally for a couple of years, obviously, with COVID. But particularly in the UK, it's kind of like the attention span seems to have sort of elastically shortened, like a sort of, you know, we need a new tune every 30 seconds or whatever. But actually, like I said earlier, when I played at that time in Wellington, you know, many years ago, there was just... people were committed. You could take as long as you like. You could, you know, really sort of extend a mix out and, you know, show people what can be done over periods of time, build tension in the room, tension and release. And I just don't think there's so much of that now in terms of that kind of very quick mixing style. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting, man. I'm going to try, you know, I've been, since Workforce has started, really, I've been sort of trying to be a bit bolder in terms of those moments where you can allow tension to build in a room, and then you really sort of pick your moment to release that tension. You maybe pick a tune that's not doesn't feel like the right one at the right time, just to create that little moment in a set. So
wicked.
Yeah, it's going to be wicked. I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. Well, before we get stuck into the mix, what's your favorite thing about New Zealand?
Oh, it's got to be the people, for sure, without doubt, because I just my experience in the round of the people in New Zealand is that, yeah, they're warm, friendly, they've got a fucking good sense of humour generally.
yeah.
Kind of like self-assured, and I just like that about people, like people that are sort of open and giving and warm, and I guess that's been my experience generally with people down there. So I hope not to be proven wrong, but I've always just had such a good experience with, you know, meeting great people and them sort of like exceeding any expectation for what I thought was, you know, going to happen or how they were going to be hospitable or whatever. So, yeah, it's always been the people.
Wicked, bruv. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing this mix, and thank you so much for kicking off the very first episode of the New Zealand Drum and Bass Podcast Mix Series.
Nice. Thanks for having me. Look forward to seeing everyone down there. And yeah, see you soon.
Big up. Let's get into it.
getting more publicized and, you know, start being hip hop, start being more of a money-making thing. Then you get these corporate ideas where you want to put what it looks like to sell what it sounds like when you're dealing with music. So what I did was I said, all right, look, I'm going to come with the angle of the whole, like, to rebel against the trying to sell the product of the human being, you know what I mean? It's more of a sound, so, you know, and at the same time, you know, it's a different, you know what I'm saying? And it fits the theme of the rebel and villain, where, you know, to him, he don't care about the fame and all that shit. That shit is, there's no consequence.
worldwide. Thank you.